Welcome to the pod. It's your boy Phil and my partner Madon. How you feeling, fam?
How you doing, family?
Yeah, you good? You chilling?
Yeah, bro. I just told you I'm hungry, bro.
That's fair. But
how you doing, though, fam? How you doing?
I'm chilling. Unlike him, I ate, so I ain't hungry. But it's episode 3 of the Holo Podcast. You know, episode 1 and 2 is out. You can catch it on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any other platform you could think of. Please like, share, and subscribe.
Yes, please, please.
Yes, sir. We have a lot of exciting topics for you today, and we're just going to jump right into it and get it kicking with the NFL playoff picture. Oh, before I forget, by the way, we are recording this on the 4th of December, 2024.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, anything that happens after this in episode 3, we do not know. At least at this point in time. But like I said, let's jump right into it. The NFL playoff picture. We got a lot of fun things to discuss there, fam. How you feeling about it?
Man, I ain't gonna lie. Football is just starting to get good, bro. You know what I'm saying? Teams kind of just shaping up in the form. Like you said, a lot of those big trades and things like that have kind of, in those moves, kind of been made. So now it's just about teams the most ready. Because, you know, football is like one of them sports, too. Like, your offense and defense really got to click at a certain amount of time. Like, we didn't see teams who win Super Bowls and went to Super Bowls who've had, like, mediocre defenses, but their defense clicked at the right time.
Yes, sir.
So, it's the team with the time where the rubber meets the road. It showed teams who really the teams, if that makes sense. So,
I'm going to go ahead and touch on them real quick. So, first, I'll run through all the division leaders. We got the Buffalo Bills who've already clinched. I believe they're one of the only teams who have done that so far.
They are.
They're only the only team. I don't think the Chiefs have clinched. They just clinched the playoffs. Chargers could still win the division, I believe. First in their division. Steelers are first in their division in the AFC North. AFC South, so we got the Houston Texans. AFC West, the Chiefs, who we just touched on. In the NFC, we got the Eagles, first in the NFC East. Lions, of course, first in the NFC North. Vikings right on their tail. NFC South, we got the Atlanta Falcons. We'll get to them later. And NFC West, tight NFC West, the Seattle Seahawks sit firmly at first. So maybe I shouldn't say so firmly. It's probably a little loose right there. The playoff picture heating up, you know. So, right, we already know there's a lot of teams that's hungry to make the playoffs. We got teams like the Colts and the Dolphins on the outside looking at the AFC. And right. We got the Buccaneers and the Cardinals, the first teams, and the Rams, they're tied to the Cardinals, the first teams looking in that are looking to miss out potentially in the NFC. So the race is tight. Obviously, we got a couple teams that have separated themselves, like the Chiefs and the Bills and the Steelers with goddamn Russell Wilson, who just had a crazy game. But then we have teams that started out a little hot. And they're not looking too good right now. It's no longer October for our boy Captain Kirk, but they're still first in their division, the Atlanta Falcons. Do you think they can keep that going to maintain that first position? The Bucks just got Mike Evans back, so they trending upwards right now.
I was gonna say, yeah, you beat me to it. I like the Bucks. I like the Bucks to make a little surge. They kind of been on a little losing streak the last couple of games, but that kind of just shows you kind of the impact of Mike Evans, Hall of Fame wide receiver. So, be honest, I'll probably still sew it up to Falcons because I like their offense. I feel like their offense is more consistent, even though the Bucks' offense can be more fire, have more firepower at times. I just like how consistent the Hawks are. So, I'll probably sew them up to that as far as
the
NFC.
You said the Hawks. You talking about the Falcons?
All them Atlanta team. Why Atlanta teams name all their team after birds? But yeah, the Falcons.
No, I'm saying they must got a lot of birds in Atlanta. They got a lot of birds in Atlanta. Falcons, Hawks.
I'm going to keep my mouth closed because I'm going to say something.
Now, Paul, we're generally talking about birds, Paul. Nothing else.
Just birds. I definitely think they'll probably just stay afloat. Like I say, the NFC is kind of like, it's weird. Like, I don't really take any team but the Lions and the Eagles serious because the Eagles definitely been hitting a surge. They kind of had a very rocky start, but they picked it up, got healthy at the right time. So, I feel like it's kind of just really between those two teams, to be fair with you, boss.
Nah, that's fair. For me, I think the Bucks can take that first position in that division over the Falcons, mainly because, like I said, it's no longer October. And Kirk has been known to, you know, kind of filter out towards the end, to the end of the season. When the going gets a little tough. And the last three games, he has not been playing very good. So I'd be a little concerned if I was a Falcon fan, but you know, I'll leave them alone for now and move on to the Broncos, right? They weren't supposed to be here, right? They weren't supposed to be in a playoff spot. They weren't supposed to be you know, a couple games. Let me get the exact number for you here. They weren't supposed to be, you know, three games over 500, and with a potential rookie of the year.
That defense nuts. I ain't gonna lie. That defense nuts.
But Bo Nix was supposed to hold him back, man. You know, he was supposed to stop him from shining. But
that defense is crazy.
But they grooving good right now. You attributed it to just the defense, or how you feel about Bo?
I think he does what he's supposed to do. I feel like this year, especially this year, like quarterback play has kind of been like very iffy. I feel like mm-hmm. if you do your job and make the reads you should necessarily need to do, your team can win games. And we see that with a lot of teams. We see that with the Seahawks. We see that with the Ala Broncos. We see it. It's like a lot of examples of teams where like if their quarterback does what they need to do, the Vikings, it's like the Niners are on the team. So I like Denver a lot. You know, the South Florida boy, Pat Surtain out there. So, you know, you got to mm-hmm. support that. But I like their team. I don't know if they can really make a push. I don't know. Do you feel like they can make a push for real, for real?
You know what they always say, man. Defense was championships, but at the same time, I'm gonna throw the college football slightly. We see how Will Howard holds back Ohio State and their football team. Like, that's a great football team. I just think Will Howard is not a good quarterback, so they're hindered. Right. Bo Nix, like you said, is doing what he's supposed to do, but he still makes all the mistakes you would expect from a rookie. And I think in a big game, you know, a playoff game, those mistakes will be far too costly to hope the defense can recover from every single one. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I think what they're doing is great. I think they're ahead of the curve where they expect it to be, you know, where they plan to be this year, likely where most of their fans probably expected them to be. But, you know, let's not jump the gun on them too much. You know, we got to
never that.
You're a Broncos fan, hold your horses, no pun intended. You know, I'm sorry, but I'll low hanging fruit.
Nah, we'll give you that one. We'll give you that one.
You give me that one, all right, but I'll take
it. I'll give you that one, bro. I'm not a hater, bro. All
right, so continuing to look at the playoff picture, the last team I'm going to bring up, and I just want to ask you a question about them, the Minnesota Vikings, right? They're 10-2 with the Sam Darnold, the man himself, at the helm, right? Do you think they can make a deep playoff push? Like, kind of like the Broncos, but farther ahead with that defense?
I'm gonna be honest, no. But it's not because I don't think they have a lot of promising things. Like, they're a good road team. Like, they're a good team, but like, it's just I gotta see Sam Darnold more in a winning situation to kind of go ahead and be like, oh yeah, that's them. And their schedule, let me see, because who do they play in these next couple games? Because they could honestly end the season with only two losses. They play,
that'd be crazy, I'm not gonna lie.
They play
only two losses is insane. They got Falcons next.
Yeah, they got Falcons next, the Bears,
Seahawks,
and they got Packers, Seahawks. Nah, that is kind of tough.
That's tough. They're gonna end the season with two wins. They Super Bowl favorites. That's crazy. I mean, actually, that last game, the Lions might actually need to play their starters. So that's interesting.
To be honest, these last five games can honestly tell, because they play, other than the Bears, they play some solid teams in the back end of their schedule. So yeah, I don't know, bro.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. But like I said, that was the last team or I wanted to touch on playoff picture-wise. So with that being said, let's jump right into our award races segment of the show. We'll start with the big bad, the big bad one, right? The big MVP. You know, probably early in the season, it looked like LJ was running away with it. But the last couple weeks, Ravens have suffered some losses while other teams have surged up like Philly and the Bills. So Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, those guys have thrown their name into the cup, right? Into the hat, if you will, for MVP. You know, do you think one of those guys have done enough to truly separate themselves from the pack?
Mm-hmm. I think it's still going to be a close race because nobody's, other than Saquon's, like nobody's numbers are really kind of like, ugh. Like, oh my God, out of this world. Like, even Josh Allen, he's been surging as of lately because he started off kind of slow, but I think he's only like 20 touchdowns on the season. Cut down on the interceptions, which is a good thing for him. I don't know. I think it's just going to come down to, I think this MVP might honestly come down to record. I honestly see a situation where Saquon or Josh win it. And I don't think Lamar really cares to win MVP because I feel like I feel like putting that on your jacket, it's the expectations and the focus, kind of like what, and I hate to bring basketball and football, but like, you know how like toward like the end of the game when Perk was saying that he was trying to call the voters so remember he was like all the MVP voters are voting for Jokic because of such.
You said Perkins?
Yeah, and then remember the end of the season he was just like, oh yeah, nah, I'm cool. I feel like an MVP would kind of like be a disservice to Lamar at this point, man. Just go get the bowl. But yeah, I was just saying,
I think he probably would agree with you. I mean, he got two, right? If I'm
he got plenty of two.
He got fun, he don't want another one, man. He want that bowl. We know he want the bowl. Chasing a bowl. Everybody wants a bowl, but we know he won it badly. So if it was up to him, I'm sure he'd trade an MVP for a Super Bowl. But we'll see. We'll see. But for me, I think Saquon Barkley has really, 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 really pushed and surged for like what he's doing in Philly right now. Right. That man, Jalen Hurts, don't got to do much. Right. Hand the ball off. When they stack the box, throw it to 11. Right. Throw it to AJ Brown and you'll be all right. And when you get to the one. Tush push touchdown, right? So Saquon Barkley got Philly on his back, right? And it's really, I don't know how Giants fans get to sleep at night, man, watching this man and hit in day division, divisional rival, run for 200 yards multiple times in the season, all these touchdowns, you know, just going crazy. If he wins MVP, it'd be the first MVP since Adrian Peterson all the way back in 2012, and it's apt because he's currently on pace to break Eric Dickerson's record. That was 2012, bro. That was a long time ago.
It don't seem like it was that long ago. He won it, but
2012, all day, Minnesota Vikings, man. But like I said, he's on pace to break Eric Dickerson's regular season rushing record, I believe. And he has a solid chance of doing it. It's gonna take some more big games, but it's Saquon Barkley, and with the way he's playing right now, I don't put it past him, and that's why he's my current MVP favorite. But we'll move on from that. You know, what should we do next? We got a couple of options. You got coach of the year.
Real quick. Talk to me. Did you know that Saquon Barkley is only, so Derrick Henry leads in rushing touchdowns. Saquon Barkley is only behind him by two, and he played three less games.
And Jalen Hurts takes his touchdowns.
He does take his touchdowns sometimes.
So that, like I said, that's why he's my MVP favorite.
Bro, He's my favorite too. That man's on a heater, bro. And he got three straight games, 100 plus yards.
He did a backwards hurdle jump over somebody, bro. That alone was award worthy. You know?
Hey, do you think he did it on purpose?
Hell yeah, he did, bro. You gotta look at that man is a
thug. All right, Phil, bro.
Bro, if you ain't seen the clips, bro, he tried it before. He tried it against the Dolphins when he played on the Giants.
Oh, he's a sicko.
Yes, and it didn't work. He got tackled. So the fact he did it again. He did it on purpose, bro. He's psychotic, as a football player should be.
Nah, he's nuts, bro. But yeah, he got it though, bro. But shoot, you said MVP. Shoot, you want to get into the rookie or your offensive?
Offensive. We got offensive rookie of the year. We got defensive rookie of the year.
Oh yeah, they got two of them.
Yeah. For offensive rookie of the year, we got probably two favorites right now. We got Jaden Daniels for Commanders and Bo Nix. For the Broncos are probably the two favorites.
Right.
Me personally, he's my fantasy quarterback. I said on the first two pods, so I'm gonna say it again. I'm a lean Jaden Daniels in this situation, just because he's been doing it a little longer than Bo. Bo is surging recently, but Jaden Daniels has been playing good since the start of the season.
Yeah,
right?
He's been more consistent.
So just due to the length of time that he's been consistent versus Bo, who had a rough start to the season, which isn't a problem, you know, he's a rookie. I'll toss Jaden Daniels' name in there as my favorite for the offensive rookie of the year. No bias because he's my fantasy quarterback or the fact that I live in Maryland.
Said no bias.
Just putting that out there. For who you got? You like them too or?
Hey, bro. Like I mean, I like Knicks, but I don't like him that much. give me McDaniels, bro. Like I say, he's more consistent. The way I look at it too, I look at your impact on your team. Like, he's completely changed the identity, how we look at that team. That means something to me personally. Like, how he goes about his business, like how he, I just like his poise, not afraid.
So sorry. I don't know. Fans listening might be mad at me, but I forgot somebody for offensive rookie of the year. How could I forget King Brock Bowers after what he just did to my Dolphins too? But the tight end of the Raiders, I believe he's currently top five in receiving yards in the NFL. Not as a tight end, not for tight ends, but just period. So that's kind of insane, you know, for a rookie tight end. Let me confirm that for you guys. Fact check myself. Yes, you know, we fact checked on this part. Yeah, he is fourth, right? Jamar Chase 1, fourth. Justin Jefferson 2, Terry McLaurin 3, and Brock Bowers as a tight end with 884 yards. And the only tight end in the top 15 of players is That's kind of insane. So.
Oh yeah, I'm not mad. He's so good. I didn't even know he was a rookie at first.
No, yeah. He low-key balding, so I don't blame you. But.
I low-key did not know he was a rookie at first until Chris traded me him in fantasy.
Yeah, he did just go crazy for you and you beat me this week.
Let's revisit the trade. Who won the trade, Phil? A little sidebar. Hey, they don't know about this. But yeah, I had traded, and it's gonna sound crazy. I understand. Y'all gonna make fun of me. But I traded CJ Stroud for Bowers. No, wait. Yeah, Bowers and Aaron Rodgers.
You obviously could. That boy Chris complained about CJ every week.
Yeah, no. CJ out here playing like Pablo our backyard football, but offensive rookie of the year. I'll probably sew it up to Jaden, but I'm not mad at Bowers either, though.
Yeah, if I had to rank them, I'll go Jaden Daniels, Brock at 2, Real Net the Neck, and then Bo Nix at 3. That's what I would do. Defensive rookie of the year. That one's a little tighter for me, but I'm gonna go Quinyon Mitchell.
I was gonna say I figured you'd go Quinton.
Yeah, I like defense, man, and he playing for the Eagles right now, and he getting getting big matchups week to week, and he not shying away, and he producing, he clamping. I can't hate on that. Yeah, he was cold at Toledo, so this was expected. You know, if you keep up with college football, you know he was a dog in college. I mean, I guess not a lot of people watch Toledo, but yeah, he was a dog in college, and it's. The game is translating. It's not taking too long for him for the game to slow down at the NFL level. He seems ready. Obviously, yeah, he got the physical tools.
Very most players very do.
But the mental aspect of the game doesn't seem to be lost on him. So that's my current favorite. A nice shout out to maybe Jared Verse for the Rams. I think he's having a decent season.
I was gonna say that's my guy. Florida State guy. You know, I represent the Cali schools. Yeah, I got Verse. Not gonna lie. Yeah, 54 tackles, 4.5 sacks.
Yeah, that's nice for a rookie, man. Nice for a rookie. So
that'll do it.
I can't hate on that. Can't hate on that. Like I said, that's my favorite. Coach of the year, though. We'll jump into that. Leave the player of the years alone for a bit.
Coach of the year. I don't know why if Loki forgot NFL does coach of the year, but they definitely have coach of the year. But I already know. I don't even have to look at that. I already kind of have mine.
Who you got?
You know, I'm going with Lions coach. Not going to lie. If he's going Campbell? Coaching,
yeah,
I'm going him for sure.
I like Dan Campbell. Let me think.
Dan got it.
So I think Dan Campbell won. I think I picked three coaches or four maybe that's in the running. I say Dan Campbell. I say McDermott in Buffalo.
I ain't mad at that.
I say McDermott in Buffalo. I say Dan Quinn and Commanders, bro. They were pegged to win like 2 to 3 games this season. You know what I mean? So
hey, shout out Dan Quinn. He been around the block too.
Yeah. So that's how much that's three. And I think my fourth guy, and I gotta give it to him because Sam Darnold is their starting quarterback. Oh. Then my camera just went out. Kevin O'Connell. I mean, we're back live. But yeah, Kevin O'Connell, Vikings head coach, age 39.
Dang.
Those four are my, yeah, he's young. There's a lot of young coaches in the league right now. Those four are my coach of the year candidates, and my favorite out of them is Dan Campbell. I think I've said this before, but he should have been the head coach of the Dolphins when he was our interim, so I'm a fan. And I just like how Detroit's playing right now. All right, we'll go back to the play of the year. It's offensive play of the year, not just Ricky, but in general. What do you think
this
about?
This one was a tough one, like I said, because it's like this year has been a weird year offensively. So I'm going to let you go first on this one.
For me, I think it's also my MVP favorite. I'm going to go Saquon Barkley. I think that's my offensive play of the year. I think the next closest person to challenge him for offensive player of the year is probably Lamar Jackson. But I'm really – Saquon Barkley's moving me, bro. Like, he's moving me. Mm. So – I really don't think I have another choice but Saquon Barkley at this point.
Yeah, and that's why I was saying it's kind of hard for me because like if we playing it like that, you kind of got to give it to Saquon if you go on numbers. But then if you want to go impact, you could go him too. So it's tricky. I mean, I guess you can maybe say like honorable mentions with Jamar Chase.
Honorable mentions, I'll go. Like I said, I'll go LJ.
Maybe Derrick Henry.
I'll go LJ. I'll go Derrick Henry. I'll go. Bro, I really don't like this guy, but I'll go Joe Burrow.
I'll go Chase before Burrow.
I'll do both of them. I'll do both of them. Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow. Even though, like I said, pod, just like everybody else, there's certain players I'm not fans of, but we are unbiased on this pod.
Couple of them, chat.
Oh, brother. Like, I don't like the Bills, but man, Josh Allen is an MVP candidate. So I got to put that out there. We are honest, despite agendas. You know, so Josh Jacobs also might have a say in this because he's hooping right now for the Packers. But say, I think in my head, in my mind, Saquon Barkley the clear cut favorite. NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Who you got? There's a couple.
See, I don't know because, like I say, bro, it's weird. It's kind of been a weird year as far as stuff like that. But who you go?
So I got three, I believe, as my defensive player this year. I'm gonna go T.J. Watt. No, this is no order, by the way. I really don't know.
Right.
I don't really have a favorite. I'm gonna go Xavier McKinney, T.J. Watt, and this is tough. I got a couple guys here, but I think the person who's separating himself just a bit is Myles Garrett for Cleveland.
I'm be so 100 with you. The only reason I didn't want to be that guy, but I low-key was about to say, I promise on my mama, I was about to say Myles Garrett. But I was like, dang, what is Phil going to say?
Nah, I mean, like, Defensive Player of the Year is always tough. There's a lot of great
behind that too.
Right, there's a lot of great defensive players in this league, and it's not like the quarterback positions where there's only 32 starting quarterbacks, right? You know, there's a lot of DNs, there's a lot of linebackers, you know, there's a lot of corners, a lot of safeties. There's a lot of defensive players in this league, and a lot of them are producing at a high level. So it's very hard, in my opinion, to separate themselves from each other. But they will separate as the season goes on. But at this point in time, 4th of December, I think my top two, I'll say top two, is T.J. Watt and Xavier McKinney for the Packers.
I was going to ask you, did you say McKinney? No, I think McKinney is nice. How you feel about I was doing my due diligence. How you feel? Shoot, we were just talking about how you feel about Sertan, and
he got shot. Sertan? Oh, PS2. Come on, bro. That's clamps. That's clamps.
You think that's he clamps. Got shot?
A defensive player of the year? Man, I don't want to say he don't have a shot, but oof, that'd be hard.
It'll be hard because of record.
That'd be hard. Like I believe he has two pick sixes. Don't quote me on that. But
I think he does. I know he has one for sure. But
he definitely got one. He has one. He has three picks on the season, 9 passes defended, and 1 pick six. He's a dog. He's clamps. I just think a couple guys are probably edging him a bit more. I think Denzel Ward might be having a better cornerback season,
than
PS2 at the moment.
I'm not mad at that.
And that's not a knock to Pat Surtain, right? That could be a lot of things. How much quarterbacks are throwing his way? How much help Denzel Ward is getting from having a guy like Myles Garrett up front? You know, so there's a lot that goes into that, and that's why it's kind of hard for defensive players to separate themselves because they're all playing so good. Another corner who I think is having a phenomenal season, since we're talking about corners, Cam Taylor-Britt for the Bengals. That man's a dog. Not necessarily a household name just yet, but I think he will by the end of the season, maybe by the end of next year. He's a dog. He's balling. He's hooping. So big fan of Cam Taylor-Britt. I think I'll stick to T.J. Watt, and that boy McKinney. Not because he played the Bama or anything.
I ain't mad at it at all. I think I probably would stick to my my Garrett McKinney, and then I'll probably see, because I was debating, because you know who else I realized was snapping on that front line a lot too? Mm-hmm. Young boy Will Anderson's been balling.
Hell yeah, I believe. Didn't he get hurt though? I'm tripping.
Will Anderson is balling.
Hell yeah, he hooping, and he went to Bama, so you know how I feel about Bama players.
Oh lord. But yeah, nah, I was about to say top 8 in sacks, like lot good tackles, for a good percentage of tackles on the season. Nah, he's a dog. I like him. So that'll probably be my three. I'll probably go Myles Garrett, McKinney, and then I'll put Will Anderson at third.
Yeah, no, he a dog. I like that. I'm not gonna hate on that. All right, I think that wraps it up for our NFL awards. The last thing we're gonna touch on, NFL-wise, is the big hit on Trevor Lawrence. That's been a huge talking point this week. A lot of prominent people have made comments, but you know, we got to talk about it on the whole podcast. This is where you get real answers, not anybody else, right? You got to talk to us. But I'll tell you how I feel about it first. Someone who played football on the defensive side of things, you know, in the past. Right, and who loves watching the game with all these new rules that they got on quarterbacks, with all these sliding things that they got going on, like fake slides and things like that. I don't blame bro for that hit. I don't think it was a dirty hit. I think it was a big hit, and I think it looked like a dirty hit. And anytime you slow something down, it's gonna look worse than it is because you're watching it in slow motion. But live game speed, I don't think. Let me pronounce his name right. Let me give this a shot. Aziz Al-Shaair. I don't think he meant you know, he's playing the game a violent way, which is what you're supposed to do as a linebacker. If I'm a coach, my defensive guys need to be violent. They need to be not dirty. They need to be disciplined.
Crash outs.
They need to be violent. They need to be organized crash outs. Let's use that term.
Organized
I want you to be out. A crash out, but crash out in this direction until the whistle stops. Whistle to whistle, bro. Between from the start of the whistle and the end of the whistle, in between it, you're a demon, right? You're a demon. In between the whistles, you're a demon. As long as you're on that football field and the play is moving, you're a demon. And it's his job to protect the first down. Trevor Lawrence is running to get a first down. My linebacker is coming down to stop a runner, right? A runner. Trevor Lawrence isn't in the pocket. He's a runner. To stop a runner. He's not a quarterback at this point. He's a runner. To stop a runner from getting a first down, right? If that was a running back, the running back would not have slid. A wide receiver would not have slid. A tight end would not have slid. They would have dove for the first down. And a quarterback like Josh Allen would not have slid. He would have tried to run the guy over to get a first down.
Yeah, Josh Allen, he think he Derrick Henry, so he definitely.
Hell yeah, I mean he do run people over though, so I can't put a pass on. But he, you know, Aziz can't assume Trevor Lawrence is going to slide. He has to assume he's going to dive for the first down, and if he's making that assumption, he has to run through the football. Right now, if he runs through the football, he's going full speed, and Trevor slides late. He can't just press a button and stop. You know what I mean? And it's not like he led with the kind of his helmet. He put his hand out. Right, and Trevor Lawrence changed the target on him. Right, if Trevor Lawrence didn't slide, that hand would have got him in the side, right? You know, in the chest, maybe in the hip or something. But he slid, lowered the target, and his hand hit him in the helmet. So it looks a lot dirtier than what I think it is. That's my opinion on that. What you say? Excuse me. What you saying?
Right, and that's good insight that you gave as far as kind of like the dynamic of like I wouldn't say the science behind it, but the technique behind it because. I'm be honest, my stint in football was very brief, even though you know I broke records like I was supposed to. But we as people, we gotta stop asking for two things at the same time. The scale is always gonna waver with people. Because yeah. We ask for the game to kind of be authentic. We ask for the game to be real. We ask it to be football. But at the same time, you're handicapping the people who make the game. And As we all love offense, let's be 100. Football is the sport to where defense is what makes football football. And we can't keep penalizing defenders for doing their job, but then penalizing them verbally as far as saying, oh, why don't you take the hit? Oh, why don't you do this? So I just think it just sucks because even though it wasn't a dirty play, you know how social media works. When you do something, they're going to pull your whole history.
Yeah, because he has had some bad plays in the past.
Bro, that man had a play. I was on Twitter. Bro, he had like grabbed Brady by the neck. It was when he was in Tampa, and then after it was like a late hit, he was grabbing. I'm like, man, this man choking Brady. But I say all that to say like
Brady defended him though. That's the crazy part. He said offensive players. Oh, he said quarterback should get fined for sliding late. And I respect that.
Bro, Brady's a real one, bro. Brady knows real football, bro.
So, he is, and I hate that I respect it because I don't like that guy.
Bro, I say this all the time, bro. I like him a lot more now that he's not in the NFL, which is so weird. But
that's true, because he killed my Dolphins for 20 years, so of course I don't like him.
Yeah, nah. But he played in New England. That ain't all the way his fault, but it is his true. Fault. But yeah, man, that's just... It's unfortunate, you know, but like, and another thing that I've heard him mention in the past is like, we got to start back training people again. Like, we got to start back training players and teaching quarterbacks how to be quarterbacks, first, second, third read, how to go through progressions. Like, we got to stop taking shortcuts for entertainment for the dollar, you know?
That's true. I mean, like he said, the NFL doesn't allow young quarterbacks to grow anymore. You know what I mean? So, that. A lot of teaching gets skipped out on when you're thrown into a situation where you're expected to win. So
it's crazy, bro. And if you think about it, the best quarterbacks in the league right now, or maybe the top three, all didn't start there for a rookie year. Josh Allen started his rookie year, didn't he?
He did, and he was ass.
But let's just say the main two, the Lamars, the Patties.
Got Mahomes, Jordan Love, Jared Goff. Did Jared Goff start? I don't think Jared Goff started.
Jared Goff didn't start.
He was behind Bradford still?
Yeah.
Was Bradford still there?
Yeah, he was.
Okay, yeah. That was a minute ago. Holy moly, Sam Bradford.
Yeah, bro, we gotta stop rushing people's process because we want it to be the thing so fast that it steps to this. It's okay because that's what makes it great, the progression, you know? But
yeah, no, that's facts. That's facts. Last thing I'm gonna talk about before we throw it to the association, got to talk about the college football playoff. Big surprises there. Came out official 1 through 12. You don't really care about what's after that. But 1 through 12, I'll read them out. We got Oregon, expected. Texas, expected. Penn State at 3, expected, in my opinion. Notre Dame, okay, expected, I guess. Don't really play nobody, bro. So like, we need to get Notre Dame in the conference, bro. I'm tired of them picking these hand-picked schedules. They don't gotta play nobody for real. Like they need to play some people. So Notre Dame at 4, expected, I guess. Georgia at 5. After that, crazy win versus Georgia Tech. Ohio State. Will Howard. Yeah, feel bad for them. I forgot who we got on the pod, guys. But Ohio State at 6, the Volunteers, Tennessee, hate them, but they're at 7. SMU, right? The Ponies at 8. Indiana, Hoosiers, at 9. Boise State, that boy awesome. Genty at 10, Heisman favorite. 3 loss Alabama. That's the one that's really throwing people off, is at 11 over 2 loss Miami. You know, meanwhile, we got a 2 loss Arizona State. We got 2 loss Iowa State, we got 2 loss BYU, we got 2 loss UNLV, all these 2 loss teams. Obviously, I don't think any of these teams are better than Alabama, but just from a record standpoint, a 3 loss team, you know, I'm sure a lot of these guys feel some type of way, right? Especially the Miami fans and, you know, their AD, their coaches, they came out, have a problem with it. But honestly, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Bama fan, guys, I promise, I pinky promise, Alabama is just a better football team than Miami, in my opinion. And if you watch Miami season, they won 10 games, and I hate to be the if guy, but they had a lot of games where they could have lost, right? Against bad teams, you know what I mean? Bad football teams, right? So if you watch that Georgia Tech game, I don't think Georgia Tech threw for more than 100 yards.
No, they ran the ball. They ran it. That's really what they didn't get in the air battle with them. They kind of just ran it down.
So they just ran the ball. They didn't throw for 100 yards. And every time they had a third and long, they brought in a backup quarterback and he would convert for a first down, right? They could have lost versus Virginia Tech. They should have lost versus Cal. Like, they've been in dogfights multiple times this season versus bad teams. Now that's not necessarily a complete bad thing, because they've come back a lot in these dogfights, right, and won games. Now that should be praised in a way, because if you're down in a game multiple times during the season and you have the grit and the grind to come back, right, come back from big holes, right, in the second half, that's not easy, and that's worthy of praise. But you can't make that a pattern, because it will come get you eventually. And it came and got them versus Georgia Tech. Then it came and got them versus Syracuse, right? Go shout out the Big Orange, shout out the Big Orange. So I was very excited about that. I don't think they have too much complaining to be. And due to how the playoff is this year, they are almost a guarantee to be kicked out of the 12th spot. Almost a guarantee. I believe there is a situation where they stay. But due to the fact that the lowest ranked conference champion will be that 12 seed. So it depends on how these conference championships shake out this weekend. And you know, we'll see how it goes. Even Bama at 11 is not completely safe. You know, they can be kicked out as well. So if for example, if Clemson wins their championship game against SMU, there is a situation where SMU is kept in. Yeah, I was saying there's a situation where SMU is kept in the playoff. Clemson comes up because they're the highest ranked. Right, that'd be part one. And then part two would be if UNLV beat Boise State in their championship game and Boise State is kept in and UNLV come up, that would push out 11 and 12 Alabama and Miami. So a lot of funky scenarios still to play out. So no guarantees yet about those 11 and 12 seeds. It's just the championship weekend is going to be fun. It's going to be an entertaining watch. Miami is a bit more shaky than Bama, but again, neither team is safe, and we'll see how it plays out.
I was going to say, you kind of hit everything on the head. I was just going to ask you, you think Texas is a better team than Oregon? I think they Texas are. That's why I just wanted to get your opinion on it.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say they are a better team, and my main reason is saying that I think they're just bigger in the trenches. I think they're dirtier in the trenches, and I think they have better quarterback play. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Dylan Grabeel. I think he's in the same bracket as Will Howard. They won their matchup together, so maybe he's a little better than Will Howard. But I think Texas is better from in every facet than the Oregon Ducks. Curb not gonna like that. Right, Curb not gonna like that, but they town coming, yeah, man. They town coming.
I was just looking at it, and like I said, I was going based off team and record. Because honestly, and I remember I used to tell you guys, like, I didn't know Oregon was that good until like a couple weeks ago. So then I started obviously doing my due diligence. Yeah, their team is really good. Their offense is real high power. They do what they need to do. So I like them, but I think my favorite for it all might be Texas. I ain't gonna lie.
To win it all?
I think they might win it all.
For me, I hate to say it, I really do, but I think my favorite to win it all is the Georgia Bulldogs. Right, this one Kirby Smart usually show what type of coach he is. You know, when they got rings on the line, so. I think they're gonna have a say. I think they're gonna really, really turn it up here in the playoff season. Don't cut Alabama out though. That's all I gotta say there.
Right.
Yeah, if they make it. That's it for the CFP segment. I think it's time, my Don. I think it's time. Let's jump right into the NBA. What you got for us?
Yeah, man, just a lot of good hoops. You know, we kind of going into the back end of the dog days of a lot of things. So just wanted to kind of just hash on a lot of good things that happened this past week. This past week, actually, and I was talking to Phil, it was the first time in 12 years on December 1st, the Rockets and the OKC Thunder played, the Cavs and the Celtics played. First time the 1-2 seeds in both conferences played on the same night in 12 years. And both games did not disappoint. Starting off, obviously, with the Rockets game. Rockets game was a movie. You know, definitely Rockets ended up beating OKC. Very close game. You know what I'm saying? Fred VanVleet, 38
Fred
points.
Fred VanVleet, 38.
Hero of the day. Game dagger hit ahead, three. Alfie, 20-14-9. Averaging 20-10-6 for the season. My GOAT, Jay Green. I do a little better. But I like how he plays within the team, and you can tell that winning is the main dynamic. But bro, the Rockets rolling, bro. Best defense in the league, number top three in net rating, one of the best, like, as far as like switching teams in the NBA. Amen Thompson and Tari Eason come off the bench and just wreak havoc on the whole game. Like,
that's true.
Steals, deflections, whatnot, and then their offense. It's still kind of stagnant at times, but they have enough capable players and shooters and creators to where they can win games. Now, flip side is when that offense stalls at the wrong time, but that's neither here or there. OKC played a good game. It's just you get an outlier in a game like that from Fred VanVleet. You honestly got to tip your hat. Chase still had his 32. Shoot, he gets 30 without sweating. We already talked about that. So,
yeah. That's facts. I really enjoyed that game. I'm really looking forward. I hope they meet in the playoffs. I'm really looking forward to what a playoff matchup between the Rockets and the Thunder will look like.
I honestly think that would be a movie.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. Great team. You called it from the jump, man, Mr. Rocket, man. You know that the Rockets will be good this year. So I get that.
They put me through it, man. But you know, time, young Bulls over there definitely take some time. And OKC definitely missed Chet. Their defense is still really good, but that small ball stuff is not going to last too much longer. So.
No, that's true. Hartenstein doing his best though, but when Chet make it through, they'll be a lot better.
Yeah, Chet just changes their offense, bro. Like, their offense is just so much more potent, because when you got a switchable five that can shoot threes like that and block shots, it's like, that was definitely a good game. Definitely still think OKC is the best team in the West, without a doubt. But I definitely think that would be a matchup to look out for the West. Now, headed out East Coast, you got the Cleveland Cavaliers going against the Boston Celtics. Monster game. Same thing. Came down to the wire. You know, your boy Jason Tatum, one of the MVP candidates for this year early on. Definitely stepped up. Had a 35-point game. Got help from the KP. Came back from injury. Gave him 21. Dayton Pritchard, one of the most unexpected stories of the season. Low-key might can win Sixth Man of the Year. More and making more threes than Steph Curry at this moment, and shooting 43% right now, averaging 17 a game.
That's kind of tough. So, that's a crazy stat. You see what we pull out on the Holopod, y'all? Like these Peyton Pritchard stats. Clap it up, the dog. That's a crazy stat, bro.
Celtics is just it fake. They lost, but they just got too much, bro. Cavs being the Cavs, number one offense in the NBA, number three defense now. Donovan Mitchell came to play, had 35 points, 22 points in the fourth quarter, 8 points in the final minute of the game. Closer. EG came to play, gave him a good little 22 points, you know, 8 assists. Mobley, everybody played their role. But we talked about it a little bit earlier, like, their problem is just going to be times where they get too Donovan Mitchell-centric. Yep, how will the others react? You know?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. We did touch on that. I believe that was off pod when we talked about it. But just to catch y'all up, me and Don just was touching on the fact that sometimes Donovan, right, he gets a little... I hate to use this term because I think Westbrook is a GOAT, but Westbrooky, right? You know, like it's like he's pushing too hard, right? He's pushing too hard. Sometimes, at this point in his career, I'd expect sometimes, you know, when I don't want to say take your foot off the gas pedal, but direct your energy in different facets of the game, right? You know, don't force it. You know, don't go searching for a shot that's not there. You have phenomenal teammates. You have a phenomenal game plan that's been cooking. Trust the game plan. Trust the offense. Trust the guys around you, right? So I think if he can tone that back a little, he has toned it down a lot, you know, like we touched on, we talked about that. But if he can tone it down a bit more, right? We don't want no Westbrooky offense anywhere in the league, really. I think they'll be all right, man. I think they'll be all right. And I'm very excited for what that team does in the playoffs. I'm, like I said, you know, I said it before, a big fan of Evan Mobley. And I like how he's been hooping recently.
Right. As you should, man. Yeah, no, they're a good team, bro. Like I say, they're well-equipped for the regular season. And like I always say, bro, I like teams that get good threes, not shoot threes. I like teams that generate good three-point open looks. Like,
yeah,
and they do that at a very efficient clip. So I don't think anybody's going to beat the Celtics. I'm going to be honest with you. But I think Cavs can definitely give them a run for their money.
I hope they do, man. Down with the C's. Down with the C's. No, let me stop playing. But
bro, it's going to be hard, bro.
You're probably right, though. You're probably right. Like I said, you know, even, you know, despite agendas, we are honest on this pod. And honestly speaking, the Celtics
they
are
got
different.
A ballhead Steph Curry who could play defense on their team.
Like, that's insane.
Like, Derek White is he's a role player to them, but he's not a role player, bro.
No, bro, he's a phenomenal basketball player.
He's really good at basketball, bro.
He's exactly. He's really good at this thing called basketball.
He's pretty good at that.
And he's excelling in the role he's been given to play. So,
right. But you know who's not been good at basketball?
Go ahead and talk to me.
LeBron James. W segue, but nah, man. Next thing, yeah, man, the Lakers, after a great start, as you know, I told you guys early on in earlier episodes, those is my team that I've really been enjoyed. But a good team has to be consistent, and you have to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. And
yeah,
a big part of them not winning the game is it's been, you know, one of the best players that ever touched the pill, LeBron James. Now, on the surface, you see 22-9-8. Oh, what are you talking about? You know, that's LeBron can do that until he's 50 years old. LeBron's that good at basketball to where he can average 20 when he's 50 years old. But when he's shooting his lowest field goal percentage since 2007, that's when it gets kind of tricky.
That's a problem. You know, I didn't want to interrupt you too much. I'm just toss this in there. Right now, the Lakers are playing Miami, and the Lakers are down, what is that, 17 points with 4 minutes to go in the second quarter to the Heat. I think LeBron's hooping. The rest of the team ain't showing up, but there's some problems there in LA.
Yes, it's a problem, and it's like, it's only a problem because he has the ball so much. Like,
mm-hmm.
like you said, when you look on the surface, you see the numbers and you see the stats. Like, okay, it's LeBron. He shouldn't. And that's just a testament to his greatness, though, because for 48% from the field to be your lowest field goal percentage since you were almost a rookie, that's kind of insane.
That is insane.
But shooting 48 from the field, 34 from three, lowest field goal free throw percentage in his career, 74% mm-hmm. right now. But shooting 60 for the rim, which is crazy for LeBron James. One of the lowest since 2011 for him.
Mm.
And the Lakers in general are 25th in attempts, in three-point attempts, which is weird because during the beginning of the season, they were getting great three-point looks. But after a while, I don't know what started happening, but he's a big part of that because in his last five games, he missed 23s. It's not going to cut it.
That's not going to do it. I almost don't want to talk about this, man. I hate talking bad about LeBron.
I'm just
playing. But now you're right. And it's almost like a situation where you kind of just, you don't really say too much because the man, bro, he what, 40, right? What year this is? 21, 22?
Old guy.
So it's like, what do you say? You know, what do you tell him? It's time to hang it up. Right? Is that what you tell him? Do you tell him he needs to come off the bench? Maybe, like, what do you do? Right? He On one hand, you say, well, it's LeBron. He's earned the right to demand a ball, to stay in the starting five, to, you know, be a focal point of the offense. But at the same time, it's like, all right, bro, maybe it's time to... He's already toned things back, I feel, you know, with J.J. Redick coming there. But maybe it's time to tone it back a bit more. Or maybe it's time to say, hey, LeBron, you know we got a lot in the tank. Turn it up, right? Turn it up. Be you. Be LeBron I know you could be. So that's him. The Lakers as a whole, though, I think they definitely got some role player issues, right? Role players is not a derogatory term, Pod. That is not a bad thing. Everyone has a role, right?
Yes, you have to. You have to be a role player. If you got two good players on your team, you're a role player, brother.
You have to be a role player. They are needed to win championships, right? So they have a lack of good depth when it comes to the role, but they depend on Gabe Vincent. That's not a good sign. You know? My boy Namdi, right? He was a heater for a while. So, you know, good guy. Good guy, Namdi. That's his Nigerian name, if I'm saying it right.
Gabe Vincent, man, it's enough to make a grown man cry.
Yeah, there you go. But he really just be out there doing cardio. That's not a good thing. So the trade deadline, I expect they should be buyers, right? They shouldn't be sellers at this point with LeBron and AD. So I expect them to buy. I don't want them to go out and get another star because they're going to have to trade role players that they already have. I don't think they need more star power. I think they need more staying power, right? When their stars are on the bench, they need guys who could fill the gaps in the meantime, right? So go see what you can make shape.
What if you can get like a, but I don't know if you heard the news, but Brandon Ingram switched to Clutch Sports.
I didn't hear that.
So if you can go get like a Ingram or like a LaVine or something like that, you still say no?
I would say no, man. Those
if you don't got to give up too much.
I would have to see it because they don't have much to not give up in the first place. You know what I'm saying? So it just depends, right? Because you mentioned their three-point shot attempts at this current point of the season. B.I. is not going to help with that, right? Zach LaVine might help with the attempts, but will he help with the makes? I don't think that moves that's going to move the star power needle, but they're going to lose out on the back end in what I feel, right? So I don't know. If I were to go get one of those guys, I'd prefer LaVine over Ingram. Not to say LaVine's a better player than Ingram. I just think LaVine would probably be a better fit.
Right. And, no, I agree with you, man.
For the Lakers than LaVine would. So that's an interesting trade. A guy, if they want to go get a star, a guy I think that'd be phenomenal in that Lakers offense. And really, you know, I don't know how you're gonna feel about this, but Lauri Markkanen, finished sniper. Yeah, I think he'd be really stupid not, if they're gonna get him. You're right. But I think they'd be able to put out a very big starting five at times. So I think that'd be a great fit if you want to go get somebody of star level talent. So
100% star level. I just saw, I think it was yesterday or two days ago, he's the longest active player to not make the playoffs.
Lauri Markkanen? That's an insane stat. What the hell?
I seen that literally 2 days ago. I was looking, I'm like, really? But then I looked, I think it was like 500 and something games.
Damn, because he started with the Bulls, and he must not have made the playoffs with them.
And then he went to Cleveland when it was like kind of like building a roster back up.
He went to Cleveland?
Yeah, remember he was that part of that original big lineup. They was playing him at the three in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. That was before Spider. Yes. Yeah, they had Sexton.
Yeah.
Damn, he back with Sexton now. Oh, because they got traded together. I'm dumb. Yeah. Damn.
Yes. But yeah, Lauri, I don't know, man. And he just took that buku bag, that duffel. So, yeah, he ain't going nowhere.
That's true. I want to, what they doing? They going to get Cooper Flagg?
That's what it's looking. They in the sweepstakes. I see it. Man, I see the vision. Yeah, bro. Let's see if LeBron James can, I guess, pick it up because they're going to need him to. Like I said, he had the ball too much. But a James that's been hooping.
Another James.
Mr. Beard, Mr. Harden.
W Segway.
Mr. Make It Rain on a Tuesday. Been having one of his best years in a while, which is crazy for how good of a player he is. Mm-hmm. Averaging 22, 8, and 9. Shooting, not shooting too good from the field, but shooting really good from the three right now, shooting like 39%. But I just been liking the fact that he's been getting comfortable playing his style of basketball again. Now, do I think they're going to win a championship? No. But just how the Clippers have been flowing, their looks. I honestly think if Kawhi come back, they can be very formidable, bro. And what's really kind of like impressing me, obviously, you know, the shooting is going to be the shooting. Him and Curry, the only player with 3,000 threes ever in NBA history, second all time in three-point makes. His defense have been amazing this year.
Clippers as a whole. I think I told you that the other day.
Bro, that man is top five in stocks right now. Steals and blocks. James Harden. In the NBA. In the whole NBA.
That's good. I'll tell you the biggest thing I noticed with James Harden. And you know me. Pod, you might not know. But in the chat, I'm one of the biggest James Harden haters. Right? It sounds like I hate a lot of players, Chad. But I promise I don't.
Hey, you said it. Hey, look. You said it. They didn't even say it. You said it yourself.
Nah. What I'll say is... His shot attempts has gone down, right? He's taken a big focus on dishing the rock, right? You know, feeding the rest of his team. Yeah, he's taking a big step in a direction of efficiency, right? You know, he's being way more efficient with the ball in his hands compared to how he was perhaps last year or you know in years past. So I'm liking that. I like the Clippers a lot. They got Norman Powell. I've talked about him before. I think he's hooping. Chris Dunn. They got a couple ball people. Chris Dunn and Kai Jones. And both of them are playing really good defense.
He got like a little box fade.
They ball, bro.
Ball. He ain't 30 yet. I ain't gonna ball him.
Who? Chris Dunn or Kai?
Nah, Kai Jones a gook. He ball, but
he ball. I ain't gonna
do him like that.
Yeah, that's fair, but both of those guys,
even
I think, have been
too, though. Kai Jones,
yeah, him and Zubac especially, he's benefiting from the Harden dishing out and the lack of PG, right? So that freed up shot attempts, that freed up shot attempts. So I think the guys are filling the roles, filling that void in the best way they can, and James Harden's a big part of that. So you spitting?
Nah, bro, and it's like people forget, bro. This is the NBA, like. And these players can go if you tell a player who's good enough to go to the NBA take 20 shots, 25 shots a game, you don't know what they can do. So people gotta just kind of just understand that and watch what they're doing while they're playing and not what they're doing in their role, which is hard. But Clippers, I feel like, are the epitome of that because there are a lot of players to where you may have counted them out in different situations, but as you can see, when you have a culture or a coach, when you have a culture and coach that believes in you, you could thrive. So shout out to the Clippers, man. I never thought I'd be saying that, but I like this Clipper team better than the team with PG and Kawhi.
Hell yeah, dude. And I know you mentioned Kawhi coming back, man. Do they want Kawhi to come back? Like,
they do because they paying him $40 million a year, but I see what you're saying.
That's true, but just from, if we ignore the financial aspects of it, he's going to slow that offense down because of how his style of play these days.
You think so?
I think so, man. Like, they... It's not to say that they're a fast-paced team, but they have a lot of young athletic guys, and he is the type of guy that's gonna they get into those half-court sets and play methodical basketball, and it sticks when it hits his hands, right? He's never been known to swing the rock at a high clip, right? He's gonna get his shots, you know what I'm saying? So guys like Norman Powell is gonna get affected, guys like Chris Dunn are gonna get affected, guys like Zubac are gonna get affected, you know, with so many shot attempts. Right. Being taken away, shot attempts don't just come out of nowhere, right? He's gonna get his. So I don't know if that's gonna benefit them, but like you said, they are paying that man a lot of money, so
and I think Kawhi has the wherewithal. Like, I don't think he's a naive person. Like, he never struck me as like naive. Like, I think he understands, like, at this point in your career, bro, like, bro, just go win as much games as you can, bro. I don't think he'll go into that situation like, I see Norm ball, let me take shots from Norm, or let me tweak. You know, that's just how I feel, but you never know. Like you said, you have to see. His playmaking definitely has gotten better throughout the years, but you are right. He's still Kawhi, and that expectation of how good he is still going to be there. So,
yeah,
he's got to see, you know. Like I say, it's a 50-50 situation. I agree with you, but at the same time, I think he'll be willing to rest and kick his feet back a little bit if it makes sense, you know.
That's fair. I'll give you that.
But we won't know until we see. So I
gotta see.
We
gotta see. We gotta see.
Another thing that's heating up, not gonna lie, I'm not the biggest fan of Adam, but he cooked with this one. The NBA Cup, you know, things are kind of finalizing and things like that. And the seedings are set as far as the groups and things like that. We got the Rockets up top in the West Group A. We got Thunder up top in the West Group B. Warriors up top in the West Group C. And that's kind of how the West is sewed up. Then we got the East Group A. We got the Knicks at the top, 4-0, which is pretty impressive. The Bucks at number one, 4-0 as well in Group B for the East. And then we got the Hawks, it's 3-1 in Group C for the East. So, Philly Cheese, how we feeling about the NBA Cup? How we feeling about the team? How do you feel about the NBA Cup as far as the NBA, and then how do you feel like these teams in general are going to do as far as these next couple games?
So I'll say three things, right, really off the dome here, be real with you. One, I wasn't necessarily a big fan of the Cup coming into fruition and like being a thing.
I wasn't either.
But what I will say, I'll give Adam for, is the fact that the games are still regular, count to your regular season record, and only, I believe, the semifinals and the finals.
Yeah.
Are its own separate thing. So these teams still have incentive to play these games because they do count to your regular season records. That is a great thing and a good thing that they did, even though it is the Cup. You know, it's good that it still matters on the grand scheme of things. Now, Cup wise, you know, this is only year two of this, right? Lakers won it the first time, and when things are new, it's hard to get used to them. But 20 years from now, man, I'm gonna assume the Cup is gonna be here 20 years from now. 20 years from now, winning these are gonna matter when you have teams that have won multiple. You know, like when you have guys that have, when that's added to your list of accolades, right? You know, two-time NBA champ, three-time NBA Cup champion. You know, that sounds great. So
yeah, you could put it up on a shelf.
Exactly. So these games are important, and with the teams that are, it's gonna be real hardware, right? So with the teams that are still in the running, right? You said the Warriors, OKC, the Rockets, Hawks, Bucks, Knicks. Oh, Magic's also still in the running as well, along with the Mavs. That's an interesting group, right? You know, you have a mix of old and young teams. A lot of people say the old team's not gonna care, the older guys not gonna care, while the young guys gonna go for it. But you know, you got guys like Wardell that's up there, right? And you got guys like Giannis, you know, that's up there. But at the same time, there are some young guys like Orlando that they could make some noise. I don't know if P5 will be back in time to have an impact in that situation.
Probably not.
But they've been hooping without him. France and Suggs been doing their thing. But then you obviously got teams like the... Exactly. And you obviously got the top two teams in the West, right? Rockets and OKC. So I don't know who's going to win the NBA Cup. But I guess that's the beauty of a Cup game, just like how it is in soccer, right? Cup games, anyone can win, right? It's not about winning a 7-game series. It's about showing up and putting out for this one game. You know what I'm saying? So that's a good thing. I'm not going to hate on it too much. I didn't like it initially, but you know, like as everything in life, people change. So I'm giving credit where credit's due. I think we got a potential for something special here, and I'm looking forward for that final game.
Nah, I feel that, bro. Like I say, I just never was really a big fan of like creating incentives for basketball players to play basketball. But what it's done as far as from like a regular season standpoint, because not even just from the players, from the engagement, from the fans and the viewers, like just kind of having something for us to engage in through certain times throughout the season, I feel like that's a good effort in my opinion. I can definitely not knock that. As far as the group, not gonna lie, based off how the setup and the pecking order of it goes, it's definitely a reality to where a team like the Knicks could win it, but it's also a reality to where a team like the Warriors win it.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's one game, you know.
Yeah, so if we're going off of one game size, I feel like those teams have been like the most potent. Orlando too, but like I say, they got a kind of more of an uphill climb to go. But I feel like those teams are probably my favorites based off how they've been playing lately and just kind of how they've been getting like a good favorable matchups as far as scheduling and stuff like that. So I like the group cup honestly, but if I were to bet money.
Ooh, we talking betting? You're my alley now. What are we talking about?
Bet, I'll probably go no bias.
No bias. No bias.
The Bucks have been really good lately. Giannis
lately
flipping mission.
Yeah, but they I don't know. He the media against him right now, so we ain't hearing about it. But Giannis has been good.
I'll probably go Bucks or Rockets to win the cup.
For me, I'm gonna say. Say the Knicks. Let's go with the Knicks. I think for one game,
I ain't mad at the Knicks.
I think Jalen Brunson has shown he can be clutch. So if he's taking this game seriously for one game, you know, I could see him giving guys a couple 40 balls out of nowhere and walking home with an NBA Emirates Group Cup champion.
A little check.
Yeah,
Josh Hart get his AP.
There you go. Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Cup's definitely been live, bro. But like I say, we still at the halfway point. We still got a couple more. But yeah, I definitely wanted to touch on, you know, NBA Cup, you know, give albums a little props. I'm not gonna give them too much, so I might as well give them it went time.
Not so. Too much. With that, I think that's a great segue. We talking cups, we talking Emirates, so it's only right. You know, we do mainly talk about football and soccer, but it is a sports spot, so we just gonna throw it around the world real quick and go all the way over to England and talk about the English Premiership, right? We talking soccer, folks. Soccer, and it's my home country, football. Or football, depending on where you're from. So
real football.
All right, let me stop playing. But we had a couple big games today. We had a couple big games, and I believe Sunday. So Sunday, Liverpool had a really big game against Manchester City. Right, a lot of people pegged that game to be a title decider, if you will. You know, it's very early. We're still in December. We've got a long way to go for the season. Right. But that was a big game when it comes to the title race, and Liverpool won that 2-0. I know, you know, what you, anything you got to say there, Don?
Well, being completely honest, chat, I'm not the biggest football watcher, but I did my due diligence and did what Phil told me and tapped in with some of the game and some of the highlights. And a lot of Liverpool lucky was onto something.
Yeah, now they moving. Yeah, good,
and they said Man City was in a slump. Like, they actually wasn't, like, winning a lot of games these past couple games.
Yeah, nah, they are in a slump, which is beautiful to see. So another thing for you guys, chat, I am a Man United fan. I am an avid watcher of the Premier League. Speaking of Man United, you know, Liverpool hooping, right? But they drew today. They drew today to Newcastle. Meanwhile, Man United lost 2-0 to Arsenal, and Man City won their game against Nottingham Forest, and that's heating up the Premier League. So I'm going to go ahead and read out the top four for you guys really quickly. Like I said, this is just a quick rundown, just touching on soccer. Liverpool are still first, 35 points. Chelsea are second, 28 points. Arsenal are second. Are tied. They're third, but they have the same amount of points as Chelsea, 28, and Man City at 26, and that rounds out your top four. So the title race is heating up. No one is a clear cut favorite yet, as in they're not running away with it like Man City have done in previous years. But we got a great stretch. We got the Christmas break right now. This is where a lot of teams tend to separate in a way because of all the games, right? People, you know, this is the moment where the bigger squads, the squads that have much deeper rosters, you know, good players at the top and bottom, can separate themselves, you know, due to this, the Christmas run of games. So if you're familiar with the Premier League, you know what I'm talking about. And it's going to be real exciting to see how that finishes down the stretch. But I think that's all, man. I think that's all for this episode.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to tap in, though, now that you kind of brought it to my attention, kind of the history aspect of it. Trust me, I'm definitely going to tap in a little bit more and stuff like that. You know, soccer, they overseas, though, so their game schedule kind of be perplexing.
It's hard. It'd be in the morning over here. I did say that was it, but that was for the topics. As always, guys, we do have a Q&A section. You heard a little bit of it in episode 2. Right, we answered some fan questions there, and we got some fan questions for you again today.
From us to y'all.
Right, so please, please, please send your questions. And like I said, we are on all platforms, right? We on YouTube, we on Spotify, right? We on Apple Podcasts, we on RSS.com. You know, we all over the place, right? You can send us an email if you want, right? That's you can find that on Apple Podcasts. The best place to probably comment, though, probably be in the YouTube comment section. So leave comments there. All right, if you need to reach out. We want to answer your questions. So I'll go ahead and start us off. I'll ask a couple of these, Don. You know, we can get right into it. First question, does the NBA have a three-point shooting problem?
Does the NBA have a three-point shooting problem? The NBA has a follower problem.
That's deep.
NBA has a problem that I feel like a lot of people are lazy, and a lot of people don't want to do their job the way they're supposed to. So... Yeah. I don't think it's a three-point problem. I think it's a mentality problem. If I don't have a team like, say, the Warriors or OKC or the Cavs or the Celtics, why am I shooting 40 and 50 threes a game? Because everybody else is doing it. And that keeps you your job, analytics and things like that. So
yep.
I wouldn't say it's a problem. I feel like it has a three-point. I feel like people have been using the three-point line to kind of mask not being good teams. You know what I'm saying? Because if you look at it, really, like, it's a lot of mid teams in it. It's a lot of good teams, but it's a lot of mid teams. It's a lot of good teams talent-wise, but as far as like playing basketball, not a lot. So I guess you can call it a problem, but I don't see it being more so such a player thing. I see it being more so a coaching thing, a trend thing. So what about you?
For me, I ain't gonna say too much on that. We talked about an off pot a little bit, but it's kind of tied into the three-point problem. I think the NBA got a chucker problem. We got too many chuckers. Guys just want to run out the court.
That's a good. Yeah, that's a good way to
and get shots up. I said it in the chat. I said it earlier to Don off pod, and I'm gonna say it again. LaMelo went 7-20 from three, bro. That's not
LaMelo hater. No, I'm just playing.
I'm not a LaMelo, bro. You know I'm a fan of Charlotte, right?
We're gonna have fun. We're gonna make a segment. We're gonna add Phil's hit list.
Oh my god, players that I hate, bro. I really don't hate that many guys. I hate a couple of them though.
No, you don't though. You just don't like bad. You don't like bad play. Like you don't like.
I don't. I like good basketball, man. So 7-20 from three. That's what a team should be shooting, and that's a bad shooting night for a team, right? In the first half, maybe. But 7-20 from a player from three alone is just not good, and I think that's part of the problem. But that's it. I ain't gonna do too much there. Next question we got. If he wanted to, how much longer could LeBron James stay in the NBA and be a serviceable starter? How much he can probably stay in the league a while, but how much longer can he be impactful? Not necessarily 25 a night, but can he, you know, 10, 8, and 6? That's an impactful night for most players.
What? And I'm so glad that we mentioned it. We were on the topic earlier. LeBron is never gonna play in the NBA and average 10, 8, and 8. He won't let himself look that bad playing basketball.
No.
And I remember the interview he had, like, I don't know if it was last week, I don't remember the time, but it was very recent when he was asking about retiring. He said he had about like maybe 1 or 2 more years left. Like, LeBron's, when you're a player like that, like, you do yourself a disservice by playing forever and like riding to the wheels fall off, because you want people to remember you as a good player you were. So
exactly,
I give it 1 or 2. I give it 1 more year of being LeBron, but realistically 1 or 2.
Yeah, so just to touch on the question, I said he could probably play another 5 years and be serviceable player. But just like Don said, and what him and what LeBron himself has says, 1 or 2 years, he probably already know the answer. He just playing coy with the rest of us. But 1 or 2 years, I think, and I agree, right? You don't go out on the low, because people go remember that recent memory, right? The last thing, it's what have you done for me recently, right? So people go remember that, and I don't want his legacy to be remembered for a season when he averaged 10 points, right? You know, man, he can go out the end. I don't want him to go out the end of this season. I want him to have a proper sending off. So I hope he declare it before the season start on some Kobe stuff. But that's that.
I'm not ready for the farewell LeBron tour, bro. I might cry,
I'm not.
Don't laugh at me if I cry, bro.
Yeah. I'll go to this question. How much account? I ain't gonna laugh at you, by the way. I ain't gonna laugh at you because I cry right there, which I damn near wanted to cry when he broke the points record. My glorious King LeBron James. All right, I'm just playing, but how much accountability does Mike McDaniel take for the Dolphins 1-16 record versus over 500 teams? And how much accountability does Tua take? I'll start us off on this one.
Bro, that's such a nasty question.
So we've discussed this in our group chat pod, but I'm going to discuss it with y'all. I think stats like that are meaningless for football teams, right? Only one team wins the Lombardi every year. There's 32 teams in the NFL. Only one of them gets to win a trophy, which means if you're not the team winning it, you lost against good teams, right? Whether you lost and you didn't make the playoffs, you lost enough games so you didn't make the playoffs, whether you lost in the playoffs, whether you lost in a championship game, whether you lost in a bowl game, you're going to lose to good teams, right? That's the NFL. Only one team has gone undefeated. You know what I'm saying? You're going to lose. So it's not about, and context matters. I think NFL is one of those sports where context matters more than others, right? You need so many different things to go. Like, you see a good play, right? You see a big play. There's a lot that goes into that big play. You know what I mean? You need all five of your linemen to block, right? And it's not just them lining up the block. You have pass protection sets that they get into. You know what I'm saying? Like that is a game in and of itself. The quarterback has reads, read one, read two, read three, right? There's a lot that goes into a play being successful for offense or play being successful for the defense, a team winning a football game, right? Context matters. And having a bad record against teams over 500, don't get me wrong, it's not a good thing, right? That's bad, but it's not something that should be looked at heavily. It's essentially meaningless in my opinion, because if the Dolphins don't win a Super Bowl for the next 3 years, then year four the Dolphins win one Super Bowl, and then Tua stays here for another 5 years and we don't win another one, he's gonna go down as a Dolphins legend. You know what I'm saying? So Dan Marino lost a lot of games against teams over 500, and he's a Dolphins legend and seen as one of the best quarterbacks of all time. So it's easy to get caught up in comparing what you have to the teams that are doing good, like Pat Mahomes and the Bills and Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. But context matters, and certain stats like that, I think, shouldn't hold too much weight, because it don't matter if you're a 1-16 for the previous couple of years. If next year you do good just that 1 year and you go and win a Super Bowl, what the hell does it matter that you're a 1-16? You know what I'm saying? So that's my opinion on that. I don't think, if we're talking accountability though, let me answer your question, even though I think it's a meaningless stat. I think Mike McDaniels takes more of the blame because he's the head coach, and it's not just about the offense. Like the game against the Packers, right? We had zero pressures and zero sacks against the Packers, and we couldn't stop the run. Meanwhile, we only ran the ball. We only ran for, I think, 40 yards. You're not going to win games during getting zero pressures, zero, not even sacks, bro, zero pressures on Jordan Love. That's not a good thing. So you're not going to win games that way. And there has to be some better coaching. And if we want to put blame, I'd always put blame on the head coach, because he controls all three facets of the game: defense, offense, and special teams.
He does.
So yeah, that's my opinion there. Kind of, y'all could tell I'm a little passionate about my Dolphins, but
hey, look, I was gonna wait, because one thing about it, I'm respectful about people speaking. You were 100%, you were spitting, but I want the viewers to see how the other two fan questions we had. He probably said a max of 20 words, and he kept it nice, short, sweet. When Dolphins got mentioned.
Oh, brother. Hey, man.
You were spitting, but it was just funny how you kept it short and sweet. But the Dolphins, nah, bro, trust me, bro. I feel you, bro. And, but you hit it on the head, bro. It's like people lose the aspect of it. Like, bro, you're going to lose to somebody, bro. It's like, this is professional sports. It's like... Mm-hmm. People are gonna fall victim to it, especially in NFL, because one thing I will say about NFL, I feel like you definitely have to be a lot more prepared in NFL, because NBA is such a larger room for error, being that if you have the best player seven times out of ten, you're gonna have one of the better teams.
Mm-hmm.
Football, it's a lot more that goes into that, so it's never gonna always play your way on every given Sunday, and all it takes is a stretch, a run. So I think it's just, I don't think that's all. I think health plays a big reason with that as well. Dolphins have not been relatively healthy. And then also just kind of more so just timing, like the timing of their injuries and the time of like people coming back and certain things kind of happening.
Context.
So, yeah, I don't put, like you said, the head always kind of gets the blunt of things. So you got to kind of put it.
Just for the sake of that question, if I really was going to blame somebody, I'd blame Chris Gere, our GM. Right, he refuses to invest in position groups that determine games, like the O-line and the DB room. But, hey, that's neither here nor there.
Nah, bro, we got to file a grievance, bro.
Yeah, we'll see what we do in the offseason, because it's looking like we're cooked. Last question, and this one is from YouTube. So, guys, remember, the name of the channel is Hola Talk Dash Show. You know that you can search that up, and you will find us everywhere. But so this question is coming from YouTube comments, kind of a similar question to the one we just had. This one's from FIFA Sims 4599. So shout out FIFA Sims 4599. This question for y'all. Yeah, question for y'all. Do you think the Commanders have a chance to make noise in the playoffs? They have one of the worst records in the league versus teams over 500. So a similar game, similar question, I should say. And my answer to that is, do they have a chance to make noise in the playoffs? By noise, I'm assuming you mean winning games and potentially making it all the way.
Noise like? Is noise like winning
playing
win a game?
Good or winning a game? I'm assuming winning a game.
NFC title.
Like, do you mean winning one game, or do you mean making it to the NFC Championship? If it's making it to the NFC Championship, no. I'm going to say grits. If it's winning one game, I'm going to say it depends on the matchup, but I'm going to lean towards no. I think they are ahead of the curve of where they are, or where they're supposed to be, and they're doing good. They're having a good season. They have a nice young quarterback, but they still have some holes, especially on that defense, where I think they'll get exploited in the playoffs. So I believe I talked about it in a previous episode that they traded for Marshon Lattimore, who has yet to play a game. He might come back after the bye. I believe it's a hamstring or an ankle. Lower body for sure, I believe. But they have a bye week this week, so there's a good chance he comes back after the bye. But we'll see what type of effect he has on that secondary. But I do think they got enough holes still currently that would hinder them come playoff time. But we'll see. They got some big games to finish the season against the Eagles, I believe. So
yeah, these next couple games definitely gonna tell me what I need to see. But yeah, I definitely you hit nail on the head. Like, they're ahead of schedule. They should chalk this season up as a major success. They got their foundation. They understand the direction they want to go. They understand the style of football they want to play. But like I was mentioning earlier, let's not rush the process. Let's let everything maturate the way it's supposed to. So
yes, sir.
I like you said, I agree kind of basically what you said. Like, depending on the matchup, yeah, but I don't really see them winning a game.
Yeah, nah, so I'm right there with you. But that kind of wraps up our Q&A section of the show, which means, unfortunately for you guys and us as well, we are at the end of episode.
I know you guys missed us, but, you know, going to be back at it, though, you know.
Yes.
Definitely so, good potting today.
Yeah, great potting. It was your boy, Phil, right? And, you know, got my boy Madon here, and we can't wait to go record episode 4. Already planned it. Man. So
we're going to make it. Trust me, it's going to be a lot better than this one. And the next one's going to be better than the next one.
And then that's gonna be better though. Yeah, exactly. But again, thank you guys for listening and you know, paying attention and tuning into our pod. We love your support. And I look forward to your questions. Yes, sir.
Like, subscribe, listen.
Yes, sir. Like, subscribe, and share. Share it. Share
Say it again, Phil. What we on?
We gonna like it. We gonna subscribe to it. We gonna listen, and we gonna share it to your friends, your family, your pastor, your cousin, your grandma. Right? Pray about it too. Everything. You know.
Of
so.
Course, man.
But that's it. That wraps up episode 3. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Yes, sir. Catch y'all.